You're with SBS Radio.
I am Bertrand Tungandami on NITV Radio, and I'm in conversation with Nancy Dennis, and we're talking about her upcoming musical, Mapbule, in which Nancy Dennis explores the story of the first Black-led Republic of Haiti and her personal journey as a Haitian-Australian woman living on Gadigal land, stolen land.
My name is Nancy Denis. I'm on Gadigal land in Sydney, the Gadigal Wongal land in your nation of Sydney. So basically like the inner west. That's where I am today. And that's where I'm calling from as well today. That's where I live here on this land.
Yeah. Now, before we go into this conversation about this musical, what's the meaning of Mapbule? What does it stand for?
Mapbule in Haitian Creole means I'm on fire. That's its literal translation. And basically, in Haitian Creole, when someone asks you how you are, which is sakpase, you know, how you're doing, how are you, how are you walking by, an answer you can give, which is very common, is Mapbule with an M, which means I'm on fire. And if you're with people, it can be Napbule with an N. It basically just means that you're good. Like everything is fire, everything is good. But what's so brilliant, or what is so connected to the history of Haiti with that answer, is that in 1804, when the revolution started, it did start with fire. They set fire to the land, to the owner's, you know, land, in order to free the slaves that were there. It was a very coordinated attack. And so I think it's just very beautiful that in the language itself, the history is very rich within it.
It has to be reminded to our listeners that Haiti was the first, actually, French colony to free itself from colonization, not only colonization, also from slavery, and it was a slave colony, and it freed itself in 1804.
And sure,
yeah, and you touch on this aspect in the show, and coming back to also living in Australia on another colonized land. Tell us how these come together in the show. These are realities.
Doing the research for this play with songs, I just became very obsessed with my people and my history and my ancestors and everything they had done, and the realizing that the reason why we fought, you know, not just for ourselves but for our future, for our legacy, was also to give the land back to its original people. We were taking the land back for the original occupants and custodians of the land of Haiti. Because, you know, we spell Haiti with a H today, H-A-I-T-I, but sound-wise, Haiti is the original name of the land, which means the land of many mountains. Now, in relation to the us being here on this stolen land, the connection for me was just realizing how far spread colonization has gone. Since 1804, my people, you know, rose up and freed themselves from this, and how here in this country we're still yet to be free from the colonizers here. And even myself, I know that I am a guest on this land, and realizing that as a people, you know, we should be fighting to give back the land to its original people. All of us here who get to live on this land and prosper on this land, it came from great sacrifice, you know, and the sacrifice wasn't willing. It was a takeover and an attempt of genocide on the people that is still continuing today with the second stolen generation, you know. Their children are being taken away from them at a rate that is higher than ever before. And it's something that we should be fighting against for them, because it is wrong. It's very, very wrong. And, you know, I relate that back to what happened to my ancestors. And then looking and seeing what's happening now, it's a fight that we can join in now and be a part of now.
Yeah.
And I do touch on that in the play, just because I feel as a Black person, I am always reminded on this land that, you know, this is a Black land with a lot of white people on it.
Yeah. And tell us a bit about your experience, because this show is also about your lived experiences on this land.
I will just say that the show that is happening at Darlinghurst, it'll just be an accumulation of the songs. It's not the play itself, but it is definitely still about my lived experience. So my lived experience here on this land was very confusing. I felt very split within myself, you know. Not being able to speak my mother tongue is always something that affects me, just because I feel like it's a way for me to connect more with my ancestors. But I still feel very connected to them, you know, because they can speak all languages. It's no matter for them. Living here, it was very difficult because you feel like you're in two different worlds all the time. You know, I come home to a very Haitian home. Both of my parents are from Haiti. So I come home to this very black home. And when I leave this very black home, I then leave into a world that is assimilated and colonized by the white English man, that's forcing me to fit into their narrative of what it means or what it is to be black, that is comfortable for the white gaze, for the white man, for the white woman, for the white Western world. So having to be the kind of black that is suited for them, it was very uncomfortable. I didn't have a very good sense of belonging.
Yeah.
Which is what I speak about in the play a lot. You know, it's hard to feel like you belong in this country when in primary school in year five, they teach you about the White Australia policy. And the White Australia policy is something that only ended in the 80s. So it ended like a few years before my parents actually come here. Learning about the White Australia policy in year five just really affirmed within me that I wasn't supposed to be here.
Yeah.
That it felt like it was a fluke that we even got to be here and lived here. And I think that's really a dangerous thing, and a thing that they do, I think, on purpose, at such a young age, to learn about the White Australia policy at such a young age, and then to have such a warped knowledge, a warped and racist knowledge about the Indigenous people at the same time, because you learn about the White Australia policy and then you learn about the Indigenous people as gatherers and hunters, instead of the true fact that they weren't gatherers and hunters. That's, you know, they were intelligent, they were civilized. It was a civilization of harmony with the land. They were architects. They were brilliant architects. They were brilliant fishermen. They were brilliant at everything. They were so brilliant at everything, to the point where their mark on this land made the land more prosperous. You know, for the fact that we could even live on it now. And so at such a young age, learning the White Australia policy against a warped view of the black Indigenous people here just made me feel small. It made me feel uncomfortable. It made me, it affected my mental health for a very, very long time into my 20s. Yeah. Which I also speak about in the show.
The show will feature a lot of songs and music. And these songs, did you write them prior to the show, or you wrote them specifically to the show? Are they part of your repertoire that you just brought in, or you wrote them specifically for this one?
Some of the songs I did write before the show, which is what you get for this show in Darlinghurst Theatre Company, because some of the songs that I'll be performing didn't make it into the final version of this of the play, so those, there will be some pre-written ones, but all of the songs that are in the play were written on purpose for the play, and with Carl Saint-Jacques, he composed them. And if they were just from the written text that I had written, it was like I would just explain to him the feeling of the text or what I was trying to explain. And then I would get him to just, I'd say, okay, that's the feeling. Now play something that you feel sounds like that. And then he would play it, and then I would hear it, and then I would write down the lyrics. And it took us, like, honestly, to write all of the songs that are in the play.
Yeah.
It took us, like, 2 days. It didn't take very long. He's a very, very talented man.
Yeah. No, you're very talented yourself, so it's just two brilliant minds coming together. Now, as we edge to the end of our conversation, I'd like you to maybe recap for us, tell us the takeaway message that listeners should get, and what they'll be experiencing during these few nights in Darlinghurst?
What I would like for people to get is to get a sense of understanding what it's like to be the child of immigrants in a colonized country, and that the feelings that that child of an immigrant can have and experience are valid and I don't want to say the word normal, but because some of it is abnormal, but that the confusion, the anger, the sense of trying to search for a belonging, to search for a sense of self, is kind of the result of being, you know, the second generation or the first generation of immigrant parents coming from a different, more enriched culture into a very colonized white space, and how searching for yourself can be a task. And so I hope people get, when they leave the show and what they experience, I hope they experience the storytelling of it. And I hope they walk away with a deeper understanding of what it can be like for themselves, if they're here as an immigrant themselves, or if they're here as an immigrant and they have children, so they can have a sense of what their children might be feeling as well.
Nancy Dennis, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Oh, no worries. Thank you so much for having me.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.